We had nothing's going on.
I'm sure there'll be another news, quite newsweek, yeah.
Joaquin Velasquez was a bit of a big news. I was shocked by that.
Maybe he just isn't progressing as well as they hoped.
He was already doing quite well, though, wasn't he, before he got there?
He's doing really well in Japan, but that's a different style, though. Mexico.
Yeah, Mexico. He was wrestling in Mexico. Which you think he'd get on quite well, like with all the Mexican-style wrestlers that are there, the luchadors?
Personally, I wouldn't read too much into this one. I think it's more just, as he's not appearing weekly on television, they want to get rid of people from their contracts. But yeah, I reckon once normality resumes, they'll get him back to like do a Saudi show or have you, or just
It wouldn't surprise me.
Or even just like
Either that, he'll go down to CMLL.
They'll get signed from there. They'll definitely try and get him back if it's like even just for one match. Once they've kind of got a storyline for him, then they'll bring him back in. I imagine it's just as say while they're not having people appear weekly on TV, then I imagine they'll just try and cut costs where they can.
Yeah, I was thinking this.
Yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Big Wavy Roy Johnson here.
Hello, everyone. This is the interview queen, Alicia Too.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis.
This is the professional Nathan Crew.
This is Benji.
This is the Callahan Death Machine in the draw. And the face of Impact Wrestling, Sammy Callahan.
The one and only shot with Thunder Willie Mack.
This is Shreddy Brick, a.k.a. Mr. Clangin' and Bangin'.
And you're listening.
You
are listening to
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined by Ooey Gooey Fun, Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And your girlfriend's favourite podcast, Lance Rivera.
That's me, hello. How are we doing?
I'm very well, you?
I'm not too bad.
You okay, Nick?
Yeah, fantastic, thank you. Live, healthy, and looking forward to discussing the nice podcast ahead.
Yeah, another week of lockdown, we're all surviving, you've not gone stir crazy or anything. So.
Not just yet, nearly. I'm starting to wrestle the dog more.
I've been doing that a lot with my, well, not wrestling with the cat, but I've been trying to play loads of new games with my cat sort of thing. And trying to add like a bit of like, wrestling aspect to it, but it's quite difficult because he's very small and I'm very large. So it's not even, I don't think Big Show Rey Mysterio even covers it.
No. I was going to say, you can work around it, brother. Work around
it. Yeah, I've been keeping myself busy with interviews and stuff. I think I've got like two or three lined up for the next like 3 weeks, and I'm going to have to cut it off because I'm just going to have too many to release. I'm going to just say, I think I've got six lined up, I think, and I did two last week. So last week I interviewed Pyro and your mate, the natural scallywag Marcus.
Joey Marcus. Oh, our good friend Joey Marcus, you beat me with the toilet roll on a pole match.
Yeah.
Did he mention it?
Yeah.
Oh, of course, he'd be better off. Did you give him my message as well that I'm going to beat him up?
I told him that you love him, but you hate him.
Oh, that was not what my message was.
I couldn't remember what the message was. So just
me and Jack are going to beat him up. That's what it was. Next time we see him, me and Jack, the front line, are going to batter him.
That was your last match, wasn't it?
Yes, it was before lockdown. It was the very last show I was on at BWP.
A toilet roll on a pole match. That was fun.
It was fun. It was an interesting concept.
Toilet roll on a pole.
Looking at the toilet roll on top of the pole, thinking, I'm going to compete for this. This is what I want.
It's one of the most keyest like products going at the moment in the country.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's right in the middle of the like the toilet roll scourge. Everybody just had to. You could buy toilet roll anywhere.
It was mental, wasn't it? Like everywhere you went, it was literally just the shelves were just completely empty of them. At any supermarket around your sort of area, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was.
Me and my brother had to go to a out of town shopping centre and stand outside Home Bargain at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my god!
Because that was because we went in the day before. He said you have to be here at 8 o'clock. When do we open? Or they're gone, and we got like. Yeah, like
well, me and Jack had to do the same thing because we lost.
Yeah.
So we didn't get our toilet roll on the night. It was really cool as well. We got wrote about in all sorts of online articles about it.
Yeah.
So we got some publicity out of it. It was really cool. It's good to be on the pulse of society, I suppose.
Did they put it on their YouTube? I'm sure I've seen at least highlights of this match somewhere.
I believe it's going up pretty soon on the YouTube. There is some highlights.
They might put a clip up on the YouTube.
Yeah, there was some crowd footage.
Cool. And you did a Q&A this week, I saw, as well.
Yes, I did, on the RWA Facebook page.
Yeah, was that nerve-wracking?
No, we've done it before with you.
But was it weird just doing it to a camera by yourself, or was somebody there asking you questions, or just had a list of questions?
I just had a list of questions and I had to just read it off. So yeah. I was just stood there in the bottom of my house on my own while everyone else was in bed.
Yeah, it's like I can't do podcasts by myself. I just feel weird talking to myself.
I do it all the time. It's absolutely fine. Get used to it after a while.
Have you been binging any series you could want to recommend to the listeners? Or?
I've been binge watching Ballers, the HBO The Rock show.
Well, I've not seen any of that yet. So
I saw on Sky, you should get on it.
Oh,
it's
I might watch the first episode and then I think Rachel didn't like it, so we just watched it again.
That's a shame. It gets really good.
I think it's really good.
Yeah.
I watched a few on my flight when I flew back from New Orleans, which from WrestleMania 34 when I went a couple of years ago. I binge watched a couple on the flight back.
Cool. I binge watched. Have you seen that Feel Good on Channel 4?
No, I haven't. I've been mainly sticking to my Netflix.
It's a recovering drug addict, lesbian stand up comedian who starts a relationship with a straight woman and the shenanigans that happens. It's hilarious.
Sounds good, though.
I'd really recommend it.
I might get on that.
I've also been binging, from a podcast point of view, I've been binging the show day with Russell Malone's podcast. That's really good. So he basically just goes to whatever show he's on, he does like a mini interview with a couple of people. One topic that goes through the whole show. It's really good.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy.
Yeah, I'm interviewing him on tomorrow? Yeah, Wednesday.
Decent.
And me and the kids have also been binging the Major Bros and Wrestling Days figure hunts. Because Isaac absolutely adores them.
The Major Bros? Isn't that Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins?
It is. Yes. Yeah. Even though I watch
YouTube
that.
Channel. We go around figure hunting.
I've been watching The Last Dance on Netflix as well. The Chicago Bulls documentary.
That's supposed to be really good. Yeah, no, I've heard good things about that.
Me and Jack Sinclair have been talking about it in depth all week.
Yeah,
I've been watching Save Me and then Save Me 2 on Sky. I've watched completed the first and second series of that. Really, really great series. Recommend that.
That's on my list.
Fantastic. Really would recommend it. I don't want to start getting it because I know I'll end up spoiling stuff. So I'll leave it as it's fantastic and I would 100% watch it. And I've started watching Bulletproof as well. I watched the first season of that.
That looks interesting.
It's good. It is good and it is funny, everything, and it is quite good drama. But I just find that stuff gets solved quite quickly. I guess is the way to put it. It's almost like the bit like with the bill back in the day, like it gets solved within the episode, which, I think with this day and age, you don't really, unless it's like a long running soap sort of thing, you don't want sort of stuff like that to keep getting resolved in an episode.
No, we went back and we downloaded a load of really old, like Silent Witness from like the 90s. It's dead weird because it hasn't got Lobelia Fox in it. It's really good. We've never seen it, so we're obsessed with the current one. So we thought we'll go back and watch like we're back to like 98 or something.
Maybe just not before that I was born.
Maybe not that early. Maybe early 2000s. I can't remember. We downloaded Series 6. Also loving The Mandalorian. Have you watched that?
Oh, Mandalorian's great.
Yeah,
I absolutely love it.
I wish they had all 10 just ready to watch.
It'd be good, wouldn't it?
So my workmate Rob, he's just waiting for the ball to come out and then he's going to binge it one afternoon. And I was like, oh, I wish I did that. I've got loads of Disney, loads of Pixar.
I've been the same. I've gone back and watched some of the old Spider-Man cartoon from the 90s, the animated series. Been binging through that.
Yeah. Yeah, Joel got loads of DVDs from Poundland of the old Spider-Man series years ago.
I had the 60s Spider-Man series on a DVD. I should really dig them out from somewhere and watch them.
What about wrestling-wise?
Sorry?
About wrestling wise, what you've been watching. That's my wrestling podcast.
Probably got onto that. I've been watching through a load of 90s stuff, the late 90s. I've been watching loads of Triple H matches.
Yeah.
So I started on Triple H in Austin at the 2 out of 3 falls from, was it No Way Out? I
think it was yes. No Way Out.
Where The Rock beat Angle for the title, because I watched that straight afterwards as well.
Oh, Brian.
Nice. And then
I've been watching loads. Like, I watched Triple H and The Rock from Backlash with that absolute monster pop when he puts Shane and Triple H to the table with The Rock bottom at the same time.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Rock and Hogan, get it out. Rock and Hogan from WrestleMania 18.
Yeah,
I always think the one forgotten one is that Rock and Hogan one from No Way Out as well that everyone forgets happened.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, that's when the Rock was the hit up was a full on heel though, and Hogan was face. And then I think it was a shenanigans finish though. It was like Sylvain Grenier was the crooked ref.
Yeah.
Sylvain Grenier. What's a name you've heard for? What about you, Nick?
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of old sort of wrestling, football, wrestling. I've been watching
wrestling
a few of
that.
Wrestling and football, not the same thing. that's maybe with wrestling. I watched a few drafts. I watched the 2002 draft and then the 2004 draft as well. Because we're sort of around draft season, aren't we? The NFL draft started. It would be the time that they do the superstar shake up. So, did love the 2004 draft where you had sort of Bischoff and Heyman on the stage picking names out of the balls out of the pods and stuff.
Yeah,
loved it when Triple H got drafted. Fantastic. That's the best draft moment when Triple H get drafted. And it was actually just a really great episode of Raw. We had sort of, two world title matches, the WWE title and the world title. Yeah. Heyman getting drafted to Raw was fantastic. Really good episode. And at the end of the brawl with Raw and SmackDown, JR on fire with the commentary, sort of shouting, it's a melee out here. It's a fight. It's a street fight. And then Austin just comes down and beats the hell out of everyone as well, which is great. Yeah. But one pay-per-view really needs to say I've watched is Backlash 2001. I always really had a soft spot for this because I know it was at the time when they still used to have the pay-per-view sort of on Channel 4 back in the day. I think it was 2001 when they'd sort of had the few on Channel 4, and remember watching it then. But yeah, would really recommend people to go back and watch it on the network. Main events sort of, when you have sort of, I think that this is just a really great show, but also just a very well booked show.
Yeah,
when you sort of got a bit of, you've got sort of a bit of everything in there. You've got the main events can be as more serious, but it was your typical Carnage main event where it's a tag team match, but everything's on the line with the tag titles, the Intercontinental and the WWF title, the Brothers of Destruction versus the Two Man Power Trip. You have the last man standing match between Big Show and Shane, which obviously I don't need to go into about the spot that happens in that match.
Yeah.
You have an ultimate submission match half an hour between Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit. So you get your technical match in, those who obviously love their technical wrestling, that ticks all the boxes for yourself. And then you've also got your sort of kind of jokey match where you've got Chris Jericho versus the William Regal, the Queen of Dutch Breeze rules match. The rules are, she's making the rules up as they're going on, as Jericho's like about to win, a rule quickly changes. And then, of course, back in the day, wouldn't be a pay-per-view about a hardcore match. You've got Rhino versus Raven for the hardcore title. And then you've got, trying to think of the other matches that were on the card, I think you've got a six-man tag match between the all three members of the Dudleys versus X-Factor. And you get to hear the X-Factor theme tune, which I know you like, Chris. and then even a little triple threat match as well for the European title between, I think it was Matt Hardy, Christian, and Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, it sounds like a very solid pay-per-view. I was just listening really intrigued. Because I was sat here trying to think, which pay-per-view was that? Which one was that? And then he went, oh yeah, it was the one with the tag main event. I was like, oh my God, yeah.
Backlash 2001, 100%. If you're at a loose end in lockdown, couldn't recommend to watch it more. Just a fantastic pay-per-view book from start to finish. Anything close it reminds me to for our modern day sort of listeners, it reminds me of sort of a takeover, how well they're booked these days, where you've kind of got, as I say, on there you've just got a bit for everyone. There is a match that there will be at least one match on there that you will be glued to the telly almost. So just a fantastic pay-per-view that I couldn't stress more, so go and watch.
Yeah, we've went back and we started watching Raw from the beginning.
I thought about doing that.
I was tempted.
I was getting into watching some New Japan as well over the time that we've been locked down.
Yeah, Mr. Perfect versus Ric Flair, losers leaves WWF match is great. I think that's January or February 93. Might even been the first Raw, the second Raw. It's one of the very early Raws, and that's an amazing match.
That is a great, great match. It's on the 25th anniversary DVD.
Yeah. There's a 2 out of 3 falls between Doink the Clown and Marty Jannetty from June 93, I think. That's a hidden gem on the network. I recommend that highly enough. Two more I'd recommend from 93. The whole of the WWE King of the Ring from 93, it's a lot of fun, especially the old Bret Hart matches. Against Razor Ramon in the first round, Mr. Perfect in the second round, Bam Bam Bigelow in the final. Brilliant. And then a surprisingly great match is Jerry Lawler versus Bret Hart from SummerSlam 93. So I'd really recommend going to see that as well. It's surprisingly good.
No, definitely. I have heard that they used to have some great matches, to be fair, Jerry Lawler and Bret Hart. So, whilst you say surprising, I have heard that from quite a few sort of people that they used to have.
Yeah, they had a great story. It's a great story. Sorry, but I can't remember the matches really being that great. But then I watched 93.
I remember that.
And it was one from 94. I can't remember which Raw it's on, but Bret Hart versus 1-2-3 Kid for the World Championship is amazing. It's 25 minutes long, and you didn't get that back in Raw in the back of the day. Matches to go that long, and it's so good. So I'd really recommend that, digging that out.
Ahoy, scallywags around the world, and this is the Pirate Prince, Joey Marcus, the natural born scallywag, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
All right, so it's time for the first round of Question of Sports Entertainment. Nick, your question mark this week.
Yes, so got a couple of rounds for you. Just trying to work out which one to start off. We'll start off where it's a kind of a tribute to the quiz that sadly got deleted from last week.
Didn't happen.
That never happened. What do you mean?
Never happened. It's on like the exclusive DVD footage that you'll have to buy.
I definitely don't remember what this quiz was.
It was the Unseen Dark match.
Didn't lose.
But I want you last week, on that quiz though, it was to name me pay-per-views that followed WrestleMania. So this week I wanted to name you pay-per-views that went before WrestleMania.
Okay.
So there is 10 to get in total. And Lance, you won it last week, so you can choose to go first or second in this round or the next round.
I'll go second in this one, and then I'll go first in the next one.
Right, you are. Chris, to go then. So pay-per-views that went before WrestleMania.
Royal Rumble.
Is correct.
Okay. No Way Out.
Is correct.
WrestleMania.
Yep, that's correct.
I was going to say that one. Elimination Chamber.
Correct.
Fastlane.
Correct. Your third go, Lance.
Was Survivor Series 1.
Yep, it was indeed. Your fourth go, Chris.
The Wrestling Classic.
Yep, that's correct.
Does Saturday night's main event count?
It doesn't, and I'm going to have to take that answer.
I was going to say, you'll have to... Oh.
It's not on there. Your last go, Chris. If you get this point, you've won the first round.
I can't think of one.
Going to have to push.
Extreme Rules. That's usually after.
But... No, that's you. Yeah. No, I'm afraid it's not. Lance, chance to go level into the next round?
I know it now.
Gonna have to push you.
Oh my god. Oh, no. No Mercy one. Was No Mercy one?
I'm afraid it wasn't.
There was Roadblock one.
Oh, yes. Oh my God. Yeah, oh, that was it.
So it's 4-3 to Chris in the first round.
You
could have had Roadblock. Roadblock had won before WrestleMania, which was 2016, where Triple H defended against Ambrose.
Yeah.
Then the other two you could add were In Your House and St. Valentine's Day Massacre. They were the other two you could have had.
Oh my God, of course.
So 4-3 to Chris at the end of round one.
Oh, I hate you, Chris. This is going to become a blood feud, this.
I was thinking about how to make it into like a league thing, but I just got, I'd have to have some weird rules because we can't just go on games played and points and stuff. It'd have to be like a win percentage thing.
It'd have to be on the average, wouldn't it? On the average appearance to points.
Yeah,
it could certainly work.
It's, I don't know, some weird combination of weak points gained times wins. Divided by how many matches you have.
Oh my God.
This is Bill Bain, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
The WWE have officially confirmed that next year's WWE 2K game has been cancelled. WWE 2K21 will not be released.
So. Hooray!
Oh no, what a shame.
So this gives 2K an extra year to make the game amazing. So what do you want 2K to either bring back or do you want to add to 2K22?
Storylines.
I've enjoyed the story mode in the last two games.
I just feel like I want them to bring back a storyline, story mode where it's like where you're not having to be a created superstar, where you can a bit like SmackDown Shut Your Mouth, which is the best ever game in my opinion, where you could select anyone on the roster to be, and then you can just have storylines created just on certain superstars sort of thing. So and it's done on real life sort of scenarios sort of thing, like when you start the night after WrestleMania and then it goes right up until the next WrestleMania, I believe. So that's one thing I'd certainly have. So you have the whole year calendar where you go from, as I say, from the Raw after Mania to the following year's WrestleMania. So you've got a whole year on the calendar and you sort of have all sorts of storylines. So that's what I kind of want them to bring back, just a very thorough storyline. And then just even like that year, you either compete on Raw or SmackDown, you have the 4 weeks before a pay-per-view, you earn points sort of thing to unlock sort of stuff for the game, and roam backstage, which is always quite fun. So just that's the main thing I always want to see them bring back every year. I know this the universal mode, I know that can be quite fun, but it's just not the same in my opinion. I'd just love them to go old school with the old storyline with the modern day graphics. You'd like to think it should even be the best they could create. So
but even the universe mode's gone a bit poor the last couple of games. I'm playing my son. Yeah, Isaac is missing Wrestle Island so much he's created his own universe. So we're doing universe mode with that on 2013, and it's consistent storylines on that was the 2020 and 19 around, like, for example, Student Union Jack and Freddie attacked Gina Ramsey and Cameron Solis for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then computer automatically put them two together as a tag team to face the Student Union, and in game they're our tag team in the tag team lot, and they can compete for tag team titles and everything now because they got attacked for so many weeks they put them together just automatically. It was brilliant.
that's good, isn't it, like on its own, but
yeah,
like on the new games it just doesn't. It doesn't do anything, does it?
And it doesn't even remember if you win the Royal Rumble in the new games. The Rumble, and then you get to WrestleMania, and you're in like the opening match against nobody, no title, and you're like, I won the Rumble.
Yeah, stuff like that. I just think just needs to improve. Like just to think this day and age, they should easily be able to like produce brilliant, like just brilliant, like story.
And the titles just randomly change hands these days as well. You're like, you want the champion. The other week was what happened. There hasn't been a match.
I remember in the first Universe mode, I think it was on SmackDown vs. Raw 2011 or 10.
Yeah, that was
alright. It had a draft and everything.
Yeah.
like a randomized draft, and it'd come up on the screen and like show you who's being drafted where.
On 2013,
I like that.
They have matches, so whoever loses, somebody gets drafted from their show.
So the winner
gets a draft for their show.
And does it show it on the screen? I can't remember from WWE 13.
It just does a randomizer.
Yeah. And then you go on the new game where they made a big point of the draft happening that year. They went, we'll just leave it out.
Yeah, I know.
It's 2016. Keep it out the game.
I'm trying to think as well what else they like.
I want to fix the submission system. I like button bashing. I don't want to do a mini game when it comes to submission. It's annoying. I think it's a lot more fun to button bash. Try and get a meter up to the end than to try and press X and then press the square and then press. I can't do it.
I'd also have from SmackDown, Shut Your Mouth as well, from all the old SmackDown games. I don't like, personally, I'm pretty in the minority, but I don't like it when you have like a way of you have like how long you stay in the Rumble for. I just like the way that you can get thrown over, you're out.
Yeah.
You know, like this system of trying to hit a button to stay in. I just like the way of. It's just a bit unrealistic, so I just like the way you just can throw people out willy-nilly.
I do like the way if you have a finisher, you can use your finisher to stay in, because it kind of, it's like
yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, that doing something like that, but not when you have like a whole thing of just going down, you have to tap in like R2 button to stay in sort of thing. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else. I like the parking lot rules. They're always, I think they have improved that to be fair.
They have, yeah. Where you can go all the way through the back and everything. But it's still not as good as Here Comes the Pain.
No.
Yeah, I just, it makes me laugh how like we're talking about PS2 games were actually better than modern day games, which is quite crazy. Well,
they tried to make it quite simulated and realistic on the battle games, where that was just pure arcade. You hit your finisher, if you don't pin them, they're straight back, they're up before you.
I love as well how you won the match and you end up back in the ring. I think the entrances are all cool with the themes, commentaries. That's the thing as well. I wish like the commentary was like, say if you are doing the universe mode. Well, this would hopefully they would do the storyline mode. It would just be the same people commentating on Raw and SmackDown, so you would get like different commentators.
Mm.
So they have more selection of commentators where you have like where say it's not just Michael Cole, Graves, and Saxton. It's you get. Sort of well, you could get like Tom Phillips on a Jerry. I'm trying to think of all the commentators now because it changes quite a lot on Raw. But yeah, you have Cole and Graves SmackDown, and you have like Phillips and say Lawler for Raw,
and McGuinness and Phoenix on NXT. Yeah, I'd prefer that because even in FIFA now you have alternate commentators. FIFA that's renowned for being getting worse and worse every year as well, but yet they're still improving on 2K.
So there's a lot we could be here for a while talking about other stuff they can improve. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of the main ones off the top of my head.
Yeah, you got anything?
Bringing GM mode back would be good.
I'd have to go back and play GM mode. I'd probably
that was always entertaining.
That would be something I'd enjoy. Now me and Joel enjoyed playing together. But
I can't remember.
When it was in 2009, I was living with my brother, and he had no interest in wrestling or doing it with me. But I guess it against a friend, it's quite fun.
Yeah, me and the arcade played it on 2008, SmackDown vs. Raw 2008. I was Raw, I think Crash was SmackDown, and Glitch was ECW.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So we all got to play through it like that.
To have a battle of the ratings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have a budget and stuff as well. So
yeah,
you can't have a Hell in a Cell match for every match to get the ratings up.
You've also got to budget for the draft as well. You've got to sign them on contracts for a certain length of time.
Yeah.
And then as soon as their contract runs down, you can sign them on a free, on a Bosman.
I'd also go back to the story mode, because I've enjoyed it on the recent game, but I'd make it more of an open world. So maybe if you're in a city and there's like four or five promotions, you could have like promotions would be different. So one could be a bit more ROH, where it's less character, more technical wrestling the fans like. And then you could have one like Shikara, with sort of big characters. And then one bit CCW, very hardcore based. So you'd get to learn all different aspects of the game as you're playing it.
And more like you go to each promotion, attributes go up more.
Yeah. But you'll be in charge of your own bookings, so you could
if you wanted, you could stay with the one promotion. And you can have it so you have to drive to the venue or you have to earn money to get better gear and you build a reputation. So if you're like you're late or you miss a booking or you cancel bookings, you get a bad reputation. But you get rewarded for having a good reputation. Like you get offered like overseas tours to Japan and UK and Mexico. But obviously the overall goal is to get to WWE. So sometimes in the early years, they'll contact you and say, oh, we're in town, do you want to come do some enhancement matches? And as you get more experience, you'll have tryout matches, then you can sign full time, you can even be released and have to go back to the indies. It could make it like a 20-year career where it is literally from your training to the end of your career, but sometimes you sign for WWE, sometimes you have to go back to the indies where you get released.
That'd be really, really good.
Yeah, that sounds decent.
I think you should work for 2K. I think you need to start pitching this.
Because I was watching Joel play Grand Theft Auto the other day. I was like, oh, this would be a great wrestling game. You could just drive to venues and stuff and go around the pizza shop.
You said the different promotions, I was like, and then like their attributes will go up. Like if they're pure technical wrestler, then they'll have really high tech. That would be so good.
Say that you get crowd reactions, but so you can't go into the ROH one and start hitting everyone with chairs because they won't like it. So you have to change your style for each promotion.
Don't, because you're going to get my hopes up now and think, oh, they're going to do this.
So like our Joel will just live in this CCW type promotion because he just loves getting chairs and batting people. when he's on wrestling, universe mode, his promotion is all extreme rules matches, everything. So just no rules.
He loves it. Have you started showing him ECW from the 90s yet?
Not sure if he's watched any ECW.
I think he'd absolutely love it from the sounds of it.
I think I don't know. Maybe next year. when he's 15, I'm like, no, I'm watching ECW. I don't know what he does upstairs. He takes the Xbox upstairs at the moment, talks and speaks all day. So I don't see him in the afternoon anymore.
Well, anything that just involves when you go back to school, your characters don't look about 75 compared to all the other students who look about 20, still too old to be in middle school. That always threw me off on this year. I've only just downloaded it, and the first thought I had was, why does he look about 35 and there's a load of children around him?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm in middle school. My name's Trey. Okay, mate. All right.
Well, after announcing they're not doing a 2K21 game, 2K revealed they have a replacement game in the form of WWE Battlegrounds. Oh. That's interesting. Your thoughts on this game?
It looks interesting, doesn't it? I mean, it could be fun, and I'm really hoping that it is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, they reckon it's a completely new WWE gaming experience. It's more of an arcade style, so it could be a bit like All-Stars, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I
really liked All-Stars.
All-Stars had a good story to it from what I remember like watching it online, because I never got to play it. But I looked into the story and they looked like they had some interesting build-up to matches, like where it had the DX career and the Undertaker on. It was like a tournament fighter, wasn't it? If anyone remembers.
I haven't played for years.
It was 2011 when it came out, I think. So now they tried to sell it quite a lot on Raw, like the way they had. I think they even had it as like one night on Raw was even dedicated, calling it WWE All-Star Night, where like they would have like when they had like the matches announced for Raw, like they'll be done like with the All-Star graphics.
Yeah.
And it was the night Austin was the special GM, and he had the face to face with CM Punk.
Yeah, it's a very good memory. Yeah, it is. Yeah, very good stare down. Because I think it was shortly after Tough Enough.
Yeah, because he gave him the belt the night, the winner of Tough Enough, they gave him the spinner belt with the big TE in the middle of it.
Yeah.
I don't know how I remember this so well.
No, it was a good time. Well, it should have been a superb time, but obviously WWE storytelling ruined that. But I mean, I imagine they will try and sell it quite a lot like that, but All-Star never really looked like my cup of tea. So I hope it does do well. I hope it does better.
It's a very easy just pick up and play game. You don't have to be well into wrestling. It's not loads of different button combinations to do stuff. It's just you can literally. But if you want to go in depth in it, there is a bit of a It's like all beat 'em ups. If you want to learn all the moves, you can, but you can't just pick them up and just punch people to death if you want.
Like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be one of them where I wait for the reviews to come out before I get it.
I'm sure Joe will be saving up for it now. So, yeah, we always buy him it for the WWE game for Christmas, but he bought it in October. So, like, what are we going to buy for Christmas this year? If you last year. So. Yeah, it says here that a casual gamer will just be able to learn the ropes, and a passionate fan will enjoy the action. So it should be. It looks interesting. It looks like it's going to be a mixture of legends and current roster as well, which is always fun.
And a crocodile. Don't forget and a crocodile. So I'm looking forward to playing as the crocodile.
Joel thinks that means it's got fatalities in it. You can just punch, you go finish it when it punches something, so it's a crocodile.
I definitely feel like he's right, you know.
Yeah.
Because especially with that crocodile, where he just eats John Cena.
Yeah.
I hope it's like the old WWF arcade game. You know, like the Undertaker pulls out the gravestone and hits people on the head with it. And Shawn Michaels does this spinny drop kick and hits people with hearts. I'm trying to remember.
Vader turns into a mastodon and stuff and hits. That's hitting you with his tusks.
Yeah. And Razor Ramon hits you with razors.
God, that takes me back. I was probably about 13, 14 when I came out. So.
I wasn't even a concept, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think would I have been?
I don't think you would have been either.
It's about 94, 95, I think.
I would have been one or under one.
This is Pyro, and I'm telling you that you need to go and listen to Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. It is the place to find out what everyone's thinking and what everyone's doing. It is the thing to listen to if you want to keep wrestling on top of your mind.
All right, so it's time for the final round of Question Sports Entertainment. Nick, remind people of the scores.
Yeah, it's currently, after round one, it's Chris 4, Lance 3. So, all to play for going into the last game. Don't forget, I think Lance goes first in this one, so that could be a good advantage. There's still, as we sort of touched on earlier with Wouter is getting released, and there's been a lot of releases at the moment. I want you to name me wrestlers who have either been released, been fired, or contract run out, all sorts. So either way, they've left WWE and then returned. So there is 13 members of the current roster that have been released in the past or and then come back to WWE.
Right. Yeah.
So I want you to name me them, and it's Lance to go first.
Just a question: does it count if they run the contract down, left, and came back?
Yeah, you can let it, whatever way if they've done that, then they come back.
So anyone who's returned to WWE,
yeah, basically,
and is on the current roster.
But someone like Bray Wyatt doesn't count. Someone who's been sent back to development or then come back up, that doesn't count because they've still been technically under contract.
Well, I'll go with the obvious one first. Is Drew McIntyre?
Yeah, correct.
Rey Mysterio.
Correct.
Daniel Bryan.
Correct.
Jinder Mahal.
Correct. Third go, Lance.
Just trying to think now who's part of the current roster. Does Beth Phoenix count? Because she's left and come back. She had the match as well at WrestleMania.
No. I'm afraid I'll have to say no to that.
I feel like this is rigged.
No, she's technically still. She's never really gone away and competed.
Well, she left though. She left the company.
She did, but like she didn't return as an active member of the roster. She just sort of
give him another go. If that was a question.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Don't take that as an answer.
I'm not going to say that as an answer, but I will give you another go. I'll be fair.
Oh, okay. Then we'll go with Edge then. He's an active member of the roster and left.
Yeah, okay. No, I will accept Edge.
Oh, thank God for that. I was holding my breath then.
Edge, I'll let you. Yeah, I'll give you Edge.
Yeah, Shelton Benjamin.
Is correct. Your fourth go, Lance. 3-0 in this round. Fourth go, Lance.
John Morrison.
Yep, correct. Oh. The Shaman of Sexy.
Oh, he's going to be my next one. Brock Lesnar.
Yep, correct. Oh. If you fail to get this right, Lance, I'm afraid that is curtains.
Oh, God. With all that pressure.
Just to add some pressure.
Oh, my God. Does Tommaso Ciampa count?
No, because he was never officially never under signed.
Contract. Yeah,
I'm afraid I'm going to have to take that as an answer.
That's fair. Yeah, I can't argue yeah. that.
As he was never, but yeah, that's that.
I hate you, Chris.
eight, Lance seven. The other ones you could have had: Big Show, Bobby Lashley.
I was trying to think. People went to Impact. I was like, who was
it? R-Truth was on as the K-Quick back in the day with Road Dogg. Then he returned as R-Truth. Jeff Hardy, obviously many times.
Of course.
And the other one was Mickie James.
She's still part of the roster. Member.
She is, but she's still active technically. She's just injured, but also competes. She's also a commentator on Main Event. But according to my list, yeah, she's still, according to WWE.com, I was going on, she's still technically active on the SmackDown brand.
I didn't know that.
I've not watched Main Event, so
no, I don't watch her. I was more amazed that that still exists, that program.
Record. Didn't Sarah Logan get brought back just to go as Main Event and then got released again?
I had no idea.
We could have had Sarah Logan, couldn't we?
Yeah, you could have.
Rockstar Spud. We could have had Spud.
Spud. Yeah, he was on NXT this week. But no, yeah.
I still think that's a work. He never got released, even though they're now saying he's definitely has been released. I still think that's a work. So he's saying if I don't win this title,
he did lose this week, didn't he?
Yeah, but he only has to lose one match.
It would be quite cool if he did win the whole thing and then it's him versus Devlin.
he still gets released.
I've called him.
Sorry, you go first, I'll go second.
It's fine.
Or say it's like the Heath Slater gimmick when he was the free agent and he was trying to get a contract for Raw SmackDown because he had his kids to look after.
Yeah, that was
he had to
win the SmackDown tag team titles or he got fired or something.
Yeah.
That was a great storyline, I remember that.
I loved it, yeah. And it was when he came out to confront Lesnar, which was fantastic. When he was, fair play, he wasn't backing down. He was like, I need this job. And then Lesnar goes, oh, I understand. I don't give a shit about your kids. beat the crap out of him.
Do you know what? I was watching, I was shocked by this. I was watching Austin and Triple H in a No Holds Barred. It was Triple H and, I start a story and then I forget. Michinoku.
Yes.
On Raw. And Earl Hebner's getting in his face. And he turns around to him and he goes, I don't give a fuck what you have to say. And I was like, oh my God. It's like, you can't say that on Raw.
I love it when refs get well serious.
Yeah. Well, you don't even live to give them personalities anymore. It's only that Aubrey Edwards that seems to have a personality in any of the referees.
You need to have, like...
So I know that bald one in AEW has got a big personality. Well, I've seen him on the indies, but I don't see it in AEW. I can't remember his name. Is it Rick something?
Chris Roberts in progress. He was always my favourite out of personality because he always got booed whenever he came out.
Yeah.
I remember he cocked up in, but it was when it was Marty Scurll versus Tommy End in a progress title match. And at the end, it was just brilliant because Tommy End was obviously furious. He was beating the crap out of Marty Scurll and wanted to turn his attentions to Roberts and the whole crowd was just chanting, you're going to get your fucking head kicked in. It was fantastic. That was my favourite time.
My favourite referee will always be the Frontline's personal referee, Des Robinson. From PCW and RWA fame. He will always be my favourite referee. Him and Package, Chris Sharp, who's on NXT UK.
Yeah.
Only because he's refereed my match as well.
Oh, decent.
And waved at me when we went to watch the NXT UK taping. There we go. That's my claim to fame.
Friend of the show, great James Greenwood.
Oh, of course, Greenwood. I love Greenwood. Talking to him not long ago. I absolutely love Greenwood forever.
Yeah. I was going back to another Isaac story about 2K13. He was shouting, poo, poo, poo. I said, what are you doing? He goes, the referee, poo. I think he's talking about that, poo. Because he wasn't that quite here. What the poo everyone shouts when he comes to the ring. Poo, 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 poo. So I'm guessing he means poo.
Oh my God.
Deary me.
I've never heard Poo being a champ before.
I guess and that's what he hears in his 4-year-old head when we're all shouting poop. just shout poop at the telly.
That's brilliant.
Yo, Jack Bandicoot, Crash Boat, you listen to Broken But Glorious.
It's time for BBG Big Debate. So last week's question, best British Bulldog match or moment. And here's the results of the poll. So last place, it's me. Bulldog winning the Battle Royal at the Albert Hall, 12%. Which means I go first in this week's debate. And the winner who gets to pick this week's debate is Lance. 75% of you agreed that winning the IC Champion in 1992 was his best match or moment. Means, Nick, you got 13%, so you only beat me by 1%.
I feel like I was quite a convincing winner.
Pretty one-sided, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's a shame you couldn't see me then, because I had my arms spread in victory. You could sense it. There we go. As long as you can sense it in the force.
So, Lance, what were you debating this week?
So, with the often rumoured Green Lantern reboot and it being Superhero Week, International Superhero Week, I thought it'd be a good idea to debate who would be the best wrestler to depict a Green Lantern.
Cool. So it'll be under the usual rules. So we have a minute-ish.
Yeah. Yeah, about that.
Say your opinion. So who should win? And then Wednesday lunchtime, I'll put up a poll on Twitter, on our new Twitter, BBG Wrestling. And the winner will get to pick next week's debate. So as I came last, I get to go first. So I really like this topic. I think superheroes and wrestlers have many things in common. It's probably easier to find similarities and differences. So I went for Jeff Hardy. For the listeners who don't know the character, Green Lantern fights evil with the aid of a ring that grants him various extraordinary powers using his imagination, so he can just imagine something and the ring will turn it into what he's thinking. So I picked Jeff Hardy because he's one of the most creative wrestlers you see, with his paintings, his music, it's a bit out there. So imagine what he could create with the magic ring. So instead of a hammer that crushes opponents, he could think of Willow, his character from TNA, and Willow will bite the head off his opponents or his enemies rather than crush them. So, and then also superheroes also are at their best when they're troubled characters, but they also give their all, which I think Jeff Hardy is in a nutshell. That's what he always gives his best, but he's a troubled character with his off-air problems, as we'll call them. Nick?
So I'm going for Daniel Bryan. He's obviously made a career out of being the underdog, fighting evil. He's obviously had many, many, many setbacks in his career, but he never, ever, as the famous song goes, gets knocked down, but he gets back up again. You're never going to keep him down. So he's got all the makings of a true, true superhero. He's obviously loved by everyone. He's adored by all ages. So he'll be adored by all ages, certainly as this. You only have to look, obviously, the obvious storyline that springs to mind was him versus the Authority. He takes down evil at the grandest stage of them all.
Yeah.
And, he even managed to throw the big ugly monster in Kane. Not that Kane's ugly, but, you know, you get the points. I feel like all my lights are about to go off in my room now, and there's going to be a red
smoke. Someone's
smoking.
Not going to be welcome in Knoxville anymore.
Daniel Bryan's my pick just for the ultimate superhero.
Well, I'm going with someone who is true of heart, just like the Green Lantern, and has one of the most amazing, charismatic personalities in the entire WWE, and that is easily Big E. I think he'd make a great Jon Stewart to be the Green Lantern.
Yes.
As we've already had Hal Jordan appear on screen, I thought, well, let's book him as Jon Stewart. So I've picked Jon Stewart as the Green Lantern because I just think it'd be more interesting to have him than Hal Jordan. It's not that recent since we've had Hal Jordan now, but in my lifetime, it feels like it was only yesterday, that awful film with Ryan Reynolds. So I thought, well, let's go completely fresh and have Jon Stewart as the Green Lantern. And I think Big E would be a great person to depict him because he has that massive chest as well. And I think that just helps as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Has that real comic book chest.
Yeah, I think it'd be amazing. All right, so your choices are Jeff Hardy, Daniel Bryan or Big E. So Wednesday lunchtime, check out our Twitter, BBG Wrestling, and the winner will get to pick next week's debate. So
I better be picking another debate next week. I'm counting on you, Twitter.
Lance, do you have any t-shirts left?
I do. I have a few left for the lovely people who listen to this podcast and the lovely people of the Broken But Glorious Twitterverse. If you go to Lance Rivera 12 at bigcartel.com, you'll be able to get your Lance Rivera Playboy Pleasure t-shirts from there.
We've got plenty of interviews coming up next week. Last week we released my interview with Lance Manager, fellow frontline member Stacey Rose. It's doing really well. I think it's like close to 250 listens, I think.
Of course it is. It's Stacey Rose, the manager of the front line. Of course she's doing well.
I think it's doing really well.
My lovely, lovely manager.
And also we released one with wrestler, deathmatch wrestler, referee, ring announcer, musician Sleazy E last week as well. That was a really good interview, really interesting guy. This week we have an interview with one of the hottest tag teams in Brit Rest, Crash Boat. It's a really fun chat. I've not giggled for so long. And I hope it comes across in the interview. That was really fun.
Absolutely lovely pair of lads.
Yeah, they're really fun. I think it took me about five goes to kind of kept calling one Jack and one Jake. I kept getting it wrong. Even though I had it written down in front of me, I kept getting it wrong. So, saying like Jake Bandicoot. So, no, it's Jack Bandicoot. And then next week we have an interview with Bill Bain, he's worked for WWE quite a lot in the last 10 years. He's like the go-to like enhancement talent. They go to, if they're in the northeast of the US, he's done lots of backstage stuff. He's one of the druids in the CM Punk Undertaker during the in the lead up to their WrestleMania match. He was the druid who got battered. And he was also one of the security guards during the Becky, Ronda, Charlotte. I did the week before Mania last year, where he just got all went crazy and started battering all these security guards. He was one of them.
Yes.
So it was a really interesting chat. Just him, he's been with the company, like, and then we've got Joey Marcus the week after that, and then Hustle Malone the week after that. And then Pyro the week after that. So we've got loads of interviews coming up.
Absolutely stacked.
I've got six more lined up, and I think I'm going to take a break for a couple of weeks.
Listeners are not going to be going short, are they, for the next few weeks? And I just want all the listeners to know that I am going to get Joey Marcus soon. I'm going to get him as soon as this lockdown finishes. I want everyone to understand right now that I'm going to get him. Me and Jack Sinclair are going to find him and we're going to get him.
You're going to beat the Scally lads.
Yeah, we are. I promise you now.
You have to do it at Wrestle Island so I can see it. Get to Peter now.
I'll have to. You post it already in the. You post it for Wrestle Island to see.
About Frontline versus Paradox versus Scally lads versus Dogs of War for the Britannia Championships.
I'm fully game for that. I'm more than ready.
Yes.
Throw anything like that my way.
We need to get Jack on Wrestle Island as well.
Yes, we do. It would be great to have Jack there as well.
Yeah, it's nice to meet him at the last show. So had a mess him in the crowd. He signed Isaac's cape and so did Stacey and so did Harley Hudson. So it was nice chatting to them. So.
Yeah. He came down to support me in my failing efforts to win the Rumble.
Yeah, you're in it for a while. You're in it for a couple of minutes, right?
So. Yeah, a couple of minutes.
You're in longer than you were in the Britannia Wrestler.
Yes, that is right. Yeah.
Yeah, and you only have half the distance to travel.
That is true. Yeah. it was that jet lag of getting to Wales.
Yeah.
Jet lag when you cross the border.
All right, so if you enjoy our show, please check out our Twitter, again, BBG Wrestling, and then check out our website, bbgwrestling.com. Good night. You're not saying good night.
I was waiting for Nick.
Good night.
Good night. I was there waiting for him then. I was like, go on. I always go last.
Sorry, no, that was my fault. I was a bit slow then.